If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Time to talk to America's favorite nutritionist and dietitian, Dawn Jackson Blattner, the conversation sponsored by Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating, the original healthy meal company. DJB, how are you?
Oh, my goodness. I'm very excited to be chatting with you today. I've unlocked something very important.
What would that be?
Okay. You know the black bean brownies that you have made famous.
It's your recipe, and we told folks about it, and they can't get enough of it. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So a listener named Judy emailed me and said, you know what? I'd really like a blondie recipe. You got these black bean brownies that are so delicious, but what if a girl needs a blondie? And you know, a blondie is like a, sort of like a chocolate chip cookie bar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, girl? I'm going to get to work for you. And so yesterday, I was making batches and batches and batches and batches. And guess what happened? I unlocked the perfect chickpea blondie recipe. It's basically our black bean brownies, but the cousin, you know, it's the cousin, blondie cousin.
I was going to guess lima beans, chickpeas.
Yep, it's chickpeas. So I looked up, actually, after I did the recipe, I was like, you know what? What isn't a regular blondie anyway? Yeah, it's a ton of white flour and butter. That's actually what a traditional blondie is. And this one that I made is rolled oats, a little bit of almond flour, the can of chickpeas, of course, that's like the superstar, and, you know, some dark chocolate chips in there. Okay, a little bit of sugar, but no white flour, no butter. And a typical blondie, when I was looking, if you were going to make it at home, the traditional recipe, has about 15 to 20 grams of sugar each piece. And this one is 5 grams of added sugar. So you're saving tons of sugar and you're getting tons of heart smart ingredients like oats and beans.
Wow. So would you say this is a healthy snack or just a less unhealthy snack than the others?
Yeah, this is your swap when you're looking for a dessert that is a sweet treat. It's not the same as having, like, you know, a Greek yogurt with some raspberries, you know, something along those lines. That's, you know, like the superstar. You're getting probiotics,
right,
and you're getting protein, and you're getting fiber from raspberries and antioxidants from your fruit and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, there is, you know, something like that as a snack. This would be more of your up swap dessert. This is, you know, you're looking for something sweet, but you still want to do something good for your body.
Yeah, right. Well, you sent us a picture as well of them, and they look great.
Yep.
They look so delicious. But then again, your black bean brownies do as well. I do have this question, though. So you've got chickpeas in there. The fact that you've mixed it in with some of these other things and cooked it, does that diminish in any way the value of the chickpeas? Am I getting the full-throated nutritional value of the chickpeas, even though they're woven into these brownies?
Yes, you're getting the full benefit of the chickpeas, even though you're blending it with vanilla and water to make sort of the, you know, base of these brownies, the liquid part of the recipe. And what you're always looking for, why I always talk about beans all the time, is because they have tons of fiber, like more than most fruits and vegetables and whole grains. They're like the superpower of fiber. And most of us are just not getting enough. And they also have plant protein. So that is something that, you know, everybody's trying to get more protein, and it's a way to get protein through plants,
right,
in those chickpeas.
Well, so I know you're into this protein thing, plant protein. I know how to get protein through meats. What's a source of plant protein, and why is that important?
Well, I'd love to tell you, but here's my question to you. Are you going to try these chickpea blondies? I'm telling you, I feel like I need to know if this is, like, on your docket.
As I am a convert to the black bean brownies, I will tell Brenda to...
Yes, Brenda.
Well, Brenda will make these, and I'm sure they'll be swell. Certainly the last one was a home run. So real quick, the ingredients are, like, just give me the 30-second recipe for the chickpea blondies. How do we do this again?
Okay. It's on my website for all your listeners. Chickpea blondies, rolled oats, almond flour, a little sugar, baking soda, salt, a can of chickpeas, water, vanilla, and some dark chocolate chips.
And what did you say? Almond oats, rolled almond oats, or something like that?
Rolled oats, just your regular rolled like oats. Rolled oats, old fashioned oats. And then I put almond flour in these.
Is that hard to find? Almond flour?
No, it's not hard to find. And a lot of people are like, "Oh gosh, do I really need another specialty ingredient in my house?" Mm. Well, I'll tell you what. It uses a half of a cup in this recipe. You're going to want to make this recipe again, so you'll use another half of a cup at least.
There you go.
And then I also have three-ingredient almond flour cookies that are, I mean, honestly, one of the best things that you can make if people are coming over or you need a little treat to bring to a hostess. They're only three ingredients, so you can use the rest of your almond flour in those three-ingredient cookies.
DawnJacksonBlattner.com is her website, and on Instagram, DJ Blattner. So talk to me about protein.
Okay, so accidentally, protein became my personality, and all I think about and talk about is protein, and that's because I'm obsessed with muscle health and what it is for your overall health, not just for, looking at your biceps in a bathing suit. It's like it's your metabolic health is how much muscle you have. The more muscle you have, the healthier and longer you live. So anyway, I saw this new research study, and it said, oh my gosh, these researchers are trying to find the ideal ratio of plant to animal protein for your heart health. And so, animal protein is the stuff most people are used to, like the eggs and the yogurts and the turkey, chicken, fish, and beef. Mm-hmm. Those are animal proteins, and we get a lot of those. We get very few plant proteins. And so plant proteins are, oh, shocking, beans, peas, lentils, tofu, nuts, seeds, even whole grains have protein that come from plants. Anyway, this research study had over 200,000 people, and they were followed for up to 30 years. And what ended up happening is these researchers said, listen, if you could get a third of your protein from plants in a day, your cardiovascular disease risk, so that's like your heart and all your blood vessels, that risk drops by 18% just trying to get a third of your protein from plant-based sources. Your coronary artery disease, which is those arteries that are right by your heart, that risk dropped 21%. Hmm. So the idea is if you're trying to get, say, not everybody counts protein. You don't really have to count it. But the idea is if you were getting 100 grams of protein in your day, what you're trying to do is get at about a third of that from plant sources, like 33 grams would be a third
right.
of that.
Right.
And so you're looking at like, oh my gosh, how can I start doing more black beans in my turkey chili? How can I do edamame in my chicken stir fry? How can I put, a little quinoa in my lunch bowl? How can I snack on some roasted edamame? Like you're trying to figure out how to get more plants into your day. If you want to count them up, you can. And I actually created a little cheat sheet of how much protein is in all of these different kind of plant foods. If you want to play a game and try and get your, 33 plus grams a day. However, it would be fine not to count and just trying to look at your day and see where you can put more plant-based protein, especially great for your heart.
Our number is 312-981-7200. We'd like to help you. You got a question? Dawn will answer it. She's usually got the answer. 312-981-7200. You can call or text right now. You started to answer the question I had, which was, okay, so how do I integrate these plant proteins into my day? Nuts, edamame, beans, things like that. Things that I think some of us are eating with some regularity. But I wonder what my menu would look like in the day then, like breakfast, lunch, dinner, to weave more proteins in there without it being too obvious,
Oh, yeah. And I think that's the best part of this is it's not all or nothing. A lot of people are like, oh, my gosh, I have to go vegetarian, to do all of this. No, if you're having a chicken Caesar salad, put in some chickpeas. If you're having steak tacos tonight, can you put in some low-fat refried pinto beans? If you're doing, ground meat pasta sauce, well, can you put in some lentils to that? So it's just thinking about anytime you're having animal-based protein, mm-hmm. can you throw in some plants there?
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty easy.
Well, look at these blondies I'm going to be eating.
Yes!
I'm going to get some protein that way, aren't I, with the chickpeas?
Each blondie has 4 grams of fiber and 3 grams of protein. So it's not the highest source of protein in the world, but there's a little bit.
Okay, 312-981-7200. What's your question for DJB? Dawn Jackson Blattner, our registered nutritionist and dietitian who joins us on Thursdays at this time to answer your questions. Are you ready, Dawn?
I am ready.
I found potato chips at Costco that say ingredients, potatoes, avocado oil, sea salt. Are these better than regular potato chips, or does the frying ruin the avocado oil benefits?
Oh, isn't that a great question? So yes, this is the issue of how a food is prepared changes things. And so it is better when you're doing high heat, like frying or grilling, to do something like an avocado oil. But anytime you're making a food into a chip with that high frying temperature, it becomes a snack food and not a health food. So you can keep them in your life, in moderation. But at the end of the day, doing a baked potato in your oven, doing air fryer potato wedges, or cut up your own fries and put them in the air fryer, that's going to be better because it's a lower temperature and it's not deep fried.
Well, baked chips are healthier than fried chips at the grocery store, right?
Yes. Those, because it's not a deep fried version, they are a little bit healthier, but they're still in that category of snack food because at the end of the day, it's not having like the full fiber and everything of the potato, like if you were going to, cut it up yourself.
John, please ask Dawn what she thinks about sunflower oil.
Okay, my oil conversation is always olive oil is the king, and really why, if you put all the liquid oils against each other, one of the things that comes out really clear about olive oil is just how much of the monounsaturated fat it has. So it has just such a beautiful profile of fats in it. And lots of research to say olive oil is the best choice. That doesn't mean it's horrible to have other types of oils, like sunflower oil, but it's still, if you're going to choose an oil, it's still better. The fat profile is still better of an olive oil. If you're doing something very high heat, like grilling or frying, like we were talking about, avocado oil usually is a great swap, but it's very rare that you need to swap out olive oil because it's a great all-purpose fat for people to use.
Dawn, my husband's trying to lower his A1C, that is 6. He uses stevia in coffee and drinks 1 to 2 cans of Diet 7-Up a day. Just wondering if either of those are influencing the elevation of the A1C.
No. So A1C is all about your blood sugar, and whether it is a natural substitute like a monk fruit or a stevia, as mentioned, or it's more of the traditional artificial sweeteners in diet sodas like, aspartame or like Splenda, those kinds of things do not impact blood sugar like actual sugar, mm-hmm. added sugar would. So that's not it. However, there are a lot of things that people forget about impact blood sugar levels, and that's just, are you having balanced meals that have lots of veggies in there and whole grains instead of refried or instead of, refined white grains? Are you getting enough sleep and hydration and exercise? So there's lots of things that impact in a positive way A1C, but those things are very neutral, as she mentions.
What about this? A couple folks have been asking about inflammation. Inflammation is the source of so much illness and so much pain in people's lives. Are there foods that are good or bad for that?
Yes, there really is such a thing as an anti-inflammatory diet. And so I think it starts with what foods may be a little bit inflammatory. So the ones to reduce would be things like the stuff we always talk about, ultra-processed stuff like fast foods or packaged snacks like our chips and sugary cereals and deli meats and that kinds of stuff we always talk about, the ultra-processed stuff. Anything that's refined sugars like white breads and sugary cereals and sodas, those kinds of things, and too much red meat and processed meats, okay, fine. But then what can you do that's actually anti-inflammatory? So it's not just about taking those things out. What can you add? Well, colorful fruits and vegetables. I got to tell you, we talk about it all the time. You should eat them. This is absolutely why fruits and vegetables are incredibly anti-inflammatory. We're talking berries, leafy greens, all those cruciferous vegetables like cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and broccoli, tomatoes, carrots, beets, bell peppers. All of those things need to be regularly in your diet. That is the number one thing you can do to have an anti-inflammatory diet is up your produce. 3 cups of vegetables a day, 2 cups of fruit every day. That's the baseline goal for us. And then looking at fats, as we were talking about, you know, things like good fats, olive oil, nuts, seeds, avocado, and particularly in terms of good fats is omega-3 sources of fats. That's fatty fish, like salmon and sardines and herring and mackerel, and then also things like hemp seeds and chia seeds and flax seeds. Those also have some of that omega-3 healthy fat. Fermented foods actually is anti-inflammatory. So like things like yogurt and kefir and sauerkraut, those keep our gut healthy, which actually helps with inflammation. Mm. And then you can't overlook some spices and stuff that's, you know, you don't use very much of them. But if you use them regularly, they may help, like turmeric and ginger and garlic and cinnamon and oregano. Those things that you're just, oh, these taste good. Well, they're also very powerful if you're using them regularly for inflammation.
Let's play favorite vegetables. I'll go first. Onions, avocados, carrots. Maybe cucumbers, but you get 3. Favorite vegetables, go.
Oh my gosh, this is, I love Brussels sprouts. I love kale. And I love, how can you pick 3 only? I'm going to say carrots. I like carrots a lot.
Let's talk to Dave. You're on WGN. Dave, what can we do for you?
Hi, Dawn. I have a friend of mine that's adamant that you can eat all the beef and all the fat and everything. That's all good for you. He's convinced that it's the carbs and the sugar is what's going to get you. He's even talking about cooking with lard. I just shake my head and I go, I can't get through to this guy.
That's the paleo diet, isn't it?
Or carnivore is now what a lot of people are following. That sounds very much like that. The carnivore, you know, meat and fat. Here's at the end of the day, this is how it shakes out for me, is that I look at the globe and I look at who's living the longest, healthiest life. What are they eating? That's what I want to know. I don't want to know anybody in the gym. I don't want to know anybody over that's like my hairdresser. I don't care what anybody's eating except for the people in this world who are living the longest, healthiest lives. What are they doing? And they are not doing a carnivore diet. They are doing quite the opposite. They're doing lots of fruits and vegetables. Now, they're also doing whole grains, not refined grains. They're doing nuts, seeds, and beans. They're not doing very much sugar. So while I, you know, don't agree with long-living people eating a carnivore diet, I do love the idea of reducing sugar and refined grains. That's very powerful.
Well, that's what happens with that diet. I mean, I know people who ate nothing but steaks and pork chops, and they lost weight. I mean, seriously, Dawn.
Oh, yes. Anytime that you restrict...
Yeah, also, I am on a statin. He poo-poos that, saying that's no good for you either. You shouldn't even be on that.
What about all of that, Dawn?
Oh, well, you know what? Hey, listen, we are lucky to have modern medicine and definitely going with doctor recommendations and medications that save our lives. I'm all for it. So, you know, talking to your doctor about what's right for your body is very important. But at the end of the day, you know, this idea of doing a diet where it restricts food groups, you absolutely will lose weight because you're not eating pizza and brownies and cakes, cookies, pies, you know, so you're going to end up losing weight. But the question is, you know, is that the healthiest, longest living way to do it?
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
Those are almost two different objectives. We got time for one more question. Lou is on WGN with Don Jackson Blattner. What can we do for you, Lou?
Hi, John. Hi, Don. I know I should be eating more fish. And I know one of the healthiest fishes is salmon. But I don't like it. I need a recipe so I can cook my fish that I bought,
right,
and be able to eat it.
Yeah, I got 2 words for you. Grouper blondies. It's something Don's come up with. It's a fish. It's a baked fish treat. Don,
could you imagine?
How can we sneak some fish in?
Okay, he's absolutely right. Smash fish, which is an acronym for the fattiest, best for you fish, is salmon, mackerel, anchovies, sardines, and herring. Smash. So salmon is one of the easiest for many people to eat of that list of high omega-3 fish. I have two things that I do that I convert people with salmon.
Go.
One are salmon bites. So you're not just looking at a huge piece of salmon. You're cutting it up into bites and you're putting it in the air fryer, 400 degrees for about 6 or 7 minutes. And they are amazing, whether that be on like a Caesar salad or however you want to eat it. They just are less intimidating. And the air fryer makes it an awesome texture. The other thing is, come on, wait for it, salmon tacos. You put taco seasoning on your salmon, and you put a bunch of fun taco, you know, toppers and things you love in a corn, whole corn tortilla, and you are going to love salmon because, I got to tell you, salmon tacos are the way to go.
Don Jackson Blattner's smile and recipes and wisdom are at donjacksonblattner.com on Instagram, DJ Plattner. We'll talk again, Don.
Sounds great. Thanks, John.